So you have like a home office, right, Ben?
That's one thing you can call this tiny little dormer area with a curtain that I sit in, yes.
Yes, but like, can you, are you allowed to decorate it how you want?
As long as my wife approves,
Okay.
yes.
You have anything cool on the walls?
Currently, I have a calendar
A
that
calendar.
is DC, like, or Marvel themed.
Our new sponsor can help you out.
Can they?
Yes. If you go to fathead.com, actually, if you click on the link that is in
Do I see a big picture of you?
If you click on the link that is in the description of this episode and head on over to our new sponsor, fathead.com, you can get yourself some beautiful decals to put on the wall.
Nice.
Yes. They are, high endurance, oh shoot. What's the material? I can't remember.
Polymer, plastic,
They're high endurance
stuff,
plastic.
vinyl.
Vinyl, that's the word, thank you. Yes, they're high endurance vinyl, so they resist, tearing and ripping.
They're made of unstable molecule fabric.
They are self-adhesive. You don't need any special glue to install them. You can get Fat Heads. For those who aren't familiar with Fat Heads, they are beautiful decals that you can use to decorate your walls at home.
They are. I actually have some on my son's walls, and they're very nice, and they've been there for years, and
Yes.
have survived his beatings on them, so.
You can not only get your favorite superhero characters as Spider-Man, the Avengers, Batman, but you can also get your favorite sports team logos and helmets and sports characters, and they even have animal-themed ones with tiger
They even
stripes.
have the ones that that John would love to have.
My Little Pony.
Yes.
Ah,
You get one of Rainbow Dash and one of Starscream and have them battle it out on his wall.
I think he should do that.
You should.
John, if you're listening, which we know you aren't, head on over, click on the link in the description of the episode, and buy yourself a Fat Head today.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
It ain't rocket science.
Alrighty.
Are we making ice now?
No, just having a sip of my drink of choice.
Okay. Is it a glass of marbles?
That's what it sounds like.
We're going to guess the Foley art tonight.
Yes. Foley art is tonight's played by Peter Shepley. Walking down a flight of stairs. Walking down a flight of stairs really fast. Falling down a flight of stairs.
There we go.
And I think that's a good place to start. Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak. Now I'm your host, Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
And Pete.
And Pete! Oh,
Pete?
My God, for Pete's sake!
Oh,
thank
God,
you! I'm so glad that joke was said.
Yes.
Yeah, he's never heard that one before.
No, never, never,
never.
Yes.
Hey, where's the sarcasm syntax mark?
Oh, I don't know. That joke petered out a couple years ago.
Dustin is out tonight, so we replaced him with our Peter.
on track, on track.
Oh! Oh, wait. I'm sorry. No, that's the wrong track.
He is recording the track. I don't understand what you're saying.
So, Dave, who won
the
Geek of the Week last week?
Ah, well, there you go. That's a good question. I mean, you always need Ben to keep us straight. So, last week's question: do you remember the question, John? Ben?
I believe it had something to do with comics.
It's a good guess.
Yes, yes, yes. The question was, Ben wasn't here for it, but John was, and it was John's question. How many characters have wielded the power of Thor, and who were those characters? Do either of you guys know?
If they weren't Beta Ray Bill, it didn't count.
Well, Beta Ray Bill is one of the characters.
Yes.
Yes. So, there actually were 14 characters altogether.
So Ben's saying one.
Holy crap.
14 is a good number.
14.
Do you have them?
I have the list here in front of me. We will start with, of course, Donald Blake, the original, from Journey into Mystery all the way basically through until they decided, you know, he wasn't going to have a human half anymore. Eric Masterson, from the Mighty Thor number 432 in 1991. Does anyone remember him? He was the one who's had like the face mask on his helmet and a big bushy beard.
No.
No? Okay.
I do. I think I remember that.
Ah. Yes. Number three was Jake Olsen in the Mighty Thor number 2 from 1998. Then Red Norvell from the Mighty Thor number 276 in 1978.
That sounds like a Kree name.
Norvell?
Yeah, it does.
Could very well be.
Continue.
Ah, okay. Then, of course, your favorite Ben, Beta Ray Bill. He took up the hammer in The Mighty Thor, number 337, in 1983. He was Thor for a little while. Here's one that I didn't realize. Captain America, in 1988, in Thor, number 390.
Of course, because Captain America can do anything.
Of course.
That's like giving Batman the Green Lantern ring. I mean, geez.
they would never do that.
One even better, Wonder Man. I never knew this one. In Marvel Comics Presents number 45 in 1990.
Hmm.
Yes. The one that John said nobody's going to get this was Frog. Lockjaw's.
So he was a frog version.
At Avengers, right? Number 1, 2009.
Oh, I heard a really good podcast recently on Current Geek where they talked about this extensively. This was when everybody was up in arms that, you know, Thor's going to be a woman now, which I'm completely cool with, and I think they should do it. And then everybody they reminded everybody that Thor was once a frog. Right.
Yes, exactly. Thor sorta. From Avengers number 1 in 1996. That was during the Heroes Reborn storyline, and they had where it was just Thor.
Thor the first time.
Yeah. Awesome Andy from She-Hulk number 14 in 2007.
Nice.
Air Walker from the Mighty Thor number 305 in 1981. Ragnarok from the Dark Avengers in number 189 in 2013. Now, that
Ragnarok
is all
I thought was an event, not a character.
No, but in the Dark Avengers, there was a character named Ragnarok, yes.
Oh, okay.
That is the 12 Marvel characters who all wielded the power. But in the Marvel versus DC comics in 1996 and in 2004...
Nope, didn't happen.
Wonder Woman and Superman both wielded the hammer.
Nope. I disavow all knowledge. By the way, Dave, just so you know, I already have a title for this episode.
Us and our Peter? No. Anyway.
No. The Mighty Four.
Hulk doesn't get the honorable mention.
The Mighty Four. Yes, and then there is the honorable mention of Hulk from... What was that from? Spider-Man 2099. Comic book where the Hulk picked it up. So,
does that mean what they didn't for who was strongest?
See, in the case of the Hulk, though, what they failed to address there is when the Hulk picked up the hammer, he didn't actually pick up the hammer; he pushed the Earth away from it with his feet.
That's why he's an honorable mention.
But, yes,
you know,
I was actually saying that it's a joke, but I'll go ahead with it. So
it's good.
So.
No, he actually did pick it up. But
the winner this week is somebody who has won before, and he was the only one to answer it this week, and he is the first person to email us the answer.
I'm waiting for the first fax entry. That's the one I'm with bated breath for.
That's the
I'm waiting for the first telegram. Stop.
they're the ones that we will frame and hang up in the Superhero Speak Hall of Fame, wherever that might be.
Instead of the Beard of Knowledge, they get the mustachio of intellect. Wisdom. The mustachio of intellect.
So the winner this week is Dave the Nerd, again, from Dave's Nerd Compendium. So if you're not listening to his podcast, this guy is so smart. He knew all 12 Marvel characters that had the power of Thor. And he even had the honorable mention of the Hulk. So congratulations, Dave. You are the mustachio of what was it?
Of intellect.
Of intellect. Yes. So this week's question, boys and girls. What was the question, Ben?
How about I just ask the question?
You asked the question, Ben. It was your question.
So, despite being more of a Marvel fan, I actually have a DC-related question to pose to the audience. So we know right now that DC is working on this whole multiverse-related story. But there is one lesser-known part of the multiverse that has been hinted at and visited once or twice, and even prior to this new multiverse story arc, it came up post-Crisis and in some other places. There's a version of Earth where all of the superheroes are of the opposite gender. So instead of Superman, you have Superwoman. Instead of Wonder Woman, you have Wonder Man and Aquawoman and Batwoman. And a lot of these do overlap with characters, but they're basically cross-gendered versions of the same characters from the DC universe. Which version of Earth does that fall in? And as you know, all of DC's are numbered. It's like Earth 1, Earth 507, something like that. So that is the question.
And the answer must be in the form of a number.
Preferably in hexadecimal.
Mm. Not in an algebraic formula. And
I'm saying it's Earth 10.
You can say whatever you want, John.
No, it's Earth 10 because the Roman numerals X and cross-dressing, Earth 10. There you go.
Your logic is great. I love it. You get it just on logic points.
Yes, and just to be clear, Earth 1 is the main Earth. That's where Batman is a boy and Wonder Woman is a girl.
And I believe it's
and Batwoman is still a woman.
And Wonder Woman, it's in the name. Yeah, she's a woman.
Oh, is she? Oh, I thought she was a girl. No, and there is a Batwoman. No, so hold on.
There is
Wait a minute. If it's Wonder Man, then that means it's Marvel, right?
But it's the Amazonian. I forget what his name is. Because what was Wonder Woman's actual name?
Diana.
So his name is something like, I can't remember it now, but he has some sort of other name similar to the male form of Diana, and he looks all super hairy and muscular. But yeah, if you get into the semantics of it, you can go all over the place. I mean, for instance, Superwoman is actually precedented in not in being part of Earth 1, but actually of Earth 2, which is the evil counterpart to our Earth, or to Earth 1, where they have, where Lois Lane, I believe, is the evil Superman equivalent, or Wonder Woman equivalent, as Superwoman. So there's a couple things that they do weird, and that also has Owlman as the evil Batman counterpart.
So this leaves me with two questions, okay? Since there is a Batman and a Batwoman in the regular universe,
then would there be both of those in the
alternate
universe, in the gender swap universe? I would imagine there would be, but they would have their origins would align to the opposite character's origins.
Right, I understand that, but it also it's a thing in philosophy where if you reverse enough things, eventually something has to be the same. And then my other question is, aren't the evil and the females the same? Oh, wait, sorry, no.
No, they're very different.
is the name you're looking for Dane of Elysium?
Yes, Dane.
Because that is a way cooler name than Deanna.
I know, that was pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome setup.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
There's been a couple of things. Well, we haven't had a Hostful since they announced the whole Marvel movie lineup.
Mm. Yes.
That's a good segue.
Is it?
It is if we have that at our disposal. Well, so, and also, there has been, since we've, the last Hostful we had, they did the Age of Ultron trailer, which we haven't talked about either.
No. We talked about a lot in person, but not actually on the air, as it were.
Yes. So if those of you who haven't seen, there were two teaser trailers, and I have to say, they did this pretty artfully. This had to have been marketing all the way, but they announced two weeks ago on Tuesday after Age of, or and I can't speak tonight, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that they would be premiering a teaser at the next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Next day, it gets leaked online in a low res version, and Marvel goes and tweets, you know, basically blaming Hydra for it leaking, and then post the full res version. I'm sure they had all that planned, but they did follow up by still posting something during the next episode, but it was a longer a slightly different version of the teaser, which showed us some different things.
From my understanding, the teaser they actually ended up showing and is on land now. So if you guys haven't seen it, number one, get out of the rock you're living under, and number two, it's all online. So
unless that rock has really good Wi-Fi.
What?
I said unless that rock has really good Wi-Fi, in which case you can get online and you can watch it.
Okay.
I was going to say, are we doing a no spoilers kind of thing? Because if you haven't seen it.
No. We're not doing that. Go see it. We're going to talk about it anyway.
Oh, good.
see, Pete, you don't join us enough to know that we're full spoilers here.
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
We put everything right out there.
Well, I was going to say, because you're hinting around, like, they added an additional 2 minutes to the teaser. Yeah, which, right. I love that 2 minutes. I wanted that 2 minutes from the original, like the leaked teaser. Right.
So the
Joss Whedon-esque type of thing that just had to be in there.
Right. And the 2 minutes they added is what was shown at
Comic-Con
this year, that, you know, people had tried to put some of it up and they were, you know, stopped right away and
thwarted. Yes. But yeah, we got that great scene of everyone trying to pick up the hammer, which dovetails nicely with our conversation so far tonight. So it gives more credence and weight to Ultron shambling in and monologuing. I'm surprised he survives as long as he does for as much monologuing as he does.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I don't get at first. I mean, they seem to be in shock watching him take over one of the old suits and come to life.
Well, I think because the thing he picked up in Crush, I believe, is the suit that he was in when they defeated him. So my guess is they're going through multiple phases of defeating Ultron in this movie. In the first round, they take him out, and that's the aftermath of them taking him out and them sort of celebrating and their victory, only to find that he's beyond just that shell. He's downloaded his consciousness and transferred it to other hardware that he cobbles together and comes up and shows them up, and crushes the original, and probably then takes off and goes on to find Wakanda and build a factory to make multiple versions of himself.
You know, out of vibranium. It's funny, that's something I didn't think about originally, but now that you say it, it makes perfect sense, because in the comic books, he is just an artificial intelligence who inhabits all these different robot bodies. So in that respect, he's kind of unstoppable. And to tell it in a 2-hour movie, 3-hour movie, however long it's going to be, they have to show that a couple times of them thinking they beat him, and then he ends up in another robot somehow. So,
right.
Yeah.
And then, twisting the stakes.
They also have to contend with the idea that this is not new, right? Marvel's not dumb. They're not going into this thinking, well, no one knows about this story. We're just gonna, you know, we're gonna make it.
Right, right. They have to know.
We're gonna make it again.
There are fans who've read all this stuff. They know the permutations. They're gonna have to come up with something that, on one hand, honors the various permutations, but on the other, offer something unique enough for the audience to enjoy and not feel like they're rehashing straight from the pages of the comics.
Right, which they've been doing a great job of so far. It's just that they're not forgetting that. Right. They're not just gonna. Oops. They haven't dropped the ball yet. So.
Right. So they did drop a lot of interesting little teasers and hints in this preview. Obviously, we have Ultron. Obviously, we saw we're going to get Scarlet Witch, you know, in full witchy action, and Quicksilver.
Full witchy action?
Yes. And Quicksilver, Quicksilvering himself around.
How would you describe it, Dave, huh?
Yeah, do you have a better description?
I just like the expression, full witchy action.
Full witchy action.
By the way, were you aware that the two actors who played Quicksilver were best friends in the first Kick-Ass movie?
I did not know that.
I did not realize that.
Just a little bit of trivia. Anyway.
Nice.
Moving on. But there was a lot of little things. You know, obviously we see Cap's broken shield, which I like to see that. We see the Hulkbuster armor, which is awesome. Though I'd like to know the circumstances under which the Hulk and Tony have to go toe to toe.
Unless it's not Tony in the armor.
I guess that's a possibility. Control. It could be controlled by Ultron, or it could be that Hulk is being controlled by Ultron. Because we also saw a teaser in the second preview of the what we're assuming is the mind gem in Loki's staff.
Right.
That maybe Ultron gets his hands on and uses.
Right, exactly. And they've done that before in multiple iterations, comic books, cartoons, where the Hulk does get controlled in some way. Because I thought it was interesting that the Hulkbuster armor in the preview fits over another suit of armor.
Yeah, I think that they probably did that for a couple of reasons. One, because it is something that I think would scalarly be something that he wouldn't jump from one to the other per se. It's not like his other suits that he would switch between. It's an enhancement. But also I think it gives it a sense of scale that when you see the helmet close in the teaser trailer, the Hulkbuster helmet close over what looks like the tiny actual Iron Man head.
Which has another man's head inside of it.
So, right. It gives it that weighty scale that this thing is enormous.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I want to point out that, you know, having the Hulkbuster armor, yeah, that's awesome. Who it's being controlled by, it's, you know, that's going to be a neat storyline, I think.
Yeah.
But no matter what, you can say that just from the teaser that the Hulk is going to have a bad, or Bruce Banner himself, you know, is going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
Just from the little scenes that they gave us, you know, it's like the interesting thing that I want to see is, it's a nice little bit in the teaser, is the Hulk's hand up against Scarlett Johansson.
Absolutely. Which they then switch to the ballerina scene, which I think a lot of people are speculating is, because there have been hints that there's a lot of backstory for Black Widow in this movie, and that may fit into her backstory.
Right, and the hand scene also is leading credence to the rumors that Bruce Banner or the Hulk, but Bruce Banner makes more sense, and Black Widow have a romantic relationship in this movie. So
that's a possibility.
It's an interesting possibility, I think.
But here's the mystery that got no explanation, is the appearance of a bearded Andy Serkis randomly in the middle of the trailer.
Do you think that was random?
It was well placed.
It came with no explanation, so there's a lot of speculation going around about who he's playing. The most common hypothesis I've seen was Ulysses Klaue.
Right.
Which would fit, again, with Wakanda, and they've cast the Black Panther. So I think we'll see him at some point in this movie.
You think?
I do.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's a close-up of his face. No explanation around where that clip fits in.
Right.
And well, he looks so well, much like Claw right. that it's like, yeah.
Yeah, he's got his beard cropped in a way that Claw has been known to have it.
Right. It's a beard with no mustache as well. So it's like...
So I didn't know Inspector Gadget was owned by Marvel.
Oh,
I'll get you next time.
Oh, that was wrong.
Bad joke grenade. 3, 2, 1, throw.
Does that mean we're going to get Penny and a dog with an awesome collar?
Great. Oh, heck yeah. My favorite character in that show. But for everything that they put into this teaser, right, just imagine all of the stuff that they didn't. So while everybody is, and I'm very happy with the trailer. I really like it. I'm really looking forward to this film. But for all of the stuff that they didn't cover, like, no one is speculating. Okay, people are speculating, but it's like the lesser of the attention is the Hank Pym. Are they going to introduce Ant? Because Ant-Man comes out, it's the next one, right?
Right.
Yes.
So after this is Ant-Man. Are they going to introduce that with the Ultron creation, you know?
I think they may tease towards it. I think Dave, I talked to you about this offline.
Yeah.
So what they have said already about Ant-Man, they have Michael Douglas playing the part of Hank Pym. Right. So he's obviously playing an older version of Hank Pym whose work is behind him. You know, whatever work he's done has happened in the past. And so the suit is something he built in the past that Scott Lang is going to probably stumble upon and get into his possession and use. Along those lines, so we know that Tony creates Ultron in this movie, but I don't think that he creates it completely on his own accord. I think that what ends up happening is, because what we saw play out in Iron Man 3 is that he tried to rely a little more heavily on Jarvis to help him out with the control of the, you know, the suits. Mm-hmm. And Jarvis sort of fell short. He wasn't a robust enough AI to really automate one of these suits on his own. So I think that he may, you know, I think there's something, I want to say I read some description for Age of Ultron at one point that said that Tony ends up digging up some old S.H.I.E.L.D. technology projects. And I think what that is Hank Pym's, one of Hank Pym's old projects, that is the AI that he ends up using to create Ultron. It may not be complete, but it's a kernel that he uses to make it more more advanced and more robust.
And more evil.
Well, inadvertently. Yeah. By the way,
and I mean, I just want to make. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because we also know that Vision's going to come out of this, and Vision is a creation of Ultron. Does anyone else see the parallel between Ultron and Vision and Lore and Data?
Nice.
Yes, to a point.
To a point.
Because. Lore and Data were created by the same person.
I know.
Lore
didn't create Data. It's not a perfect analogy, Dave.
It's more like Data and what was the name of the other one from the last Star Trek movie?
But he didn't make that one. He didn't make that though.
No.
He found that.
They found them, right?
That was the dumbest one they ever did. B4. That was.
That's right. B4. Okay.
That one was ridiculous.
Well, I mean...
That version of Data,
Some people would say that whole movie was sort of ridiculous.
Well, that's true. But anyway, we're getting off topic. Yeah, and
that never
happens
on the show.
Never. And other things that weren't shown in that trailer, according to... what's his name? Elba? Idris Elba?
Yes.
What's the name of the... Oh, Heimdall?
Yeah. Heimdall. He will show Heimdall. Up.
Heimdall and Loki are going to be in Age of Ultron as well.
That is right. That is interesting, though, because that begs the question. Heimdall, I can understand, because Thor is going to obviously have to come back and join the fray, and obviously he takes the Rainbow Bridge, and, you know, if that means a scene with Heimdall, then that's fine. But he said that Loki was in it, too. And last we saw Loki, everyone thought Loki was dead.
Okay.
So the question is, and I've heard plenty of speculation around it. The question is, does that mean that somehow things will come to play that Loki's death or faking of death is revealed, or do they just do us the gratis of seeing him as Loki when he's actually posing as Odin or something like that?
I would think the latter. And also, you made a mistake. You said the Rainbow Bridge, and they haven't been calling it that. They've been calling it the Bifrost the whole
time. I'm calling it the Rainbow Bridge.
Well, you know, they're trying to get away from that.
Or should I call it the Super Mario Kart racetrack?
Rainbow Road.
Rainbow Road,
yes.
It's my favorite level.
Of course, you're sadistic. Oh, but yeah.
Just get the difference and call it the Bibo Bridge.
Bibo Bridge.
Yes. It would make more sense, like, but the thing is, would they do that just because people who haven't seen the Thor movie won't understand why Loki's sitting on the throne and talking to Thor?
If anyone's going to see Age of Ultron and they haven't seen Thor 2, then someone should smack him upside the head with a boot. Like, you have to prepare for this type of event. You can't go into something of this monumental without doing your homework.
So you're saying that it's homework and that people need to go watch these movies.
It's the best kind of homework.
I happen to think that Marvel's banking on this, okay? Because if you really look at the numbers, unfortunately, Thor 2 did not do as well as the others. We'll say that.
It was still pretty good, though.
All Marvel movies are doing great.
Right. I'm just saying, it's a good quality movie.
But I think Marvel is banking on that whole secondary market of all of their movies.
Yeah.
Right? I myself, when I went to go see the Avengers, I watched all the original, like the runners, you know, the
lead up
to movies to go see that. It's what I did, you know? Yeah. So I must imagine that.
Oh, I'm sure they'll put out a box set like a month before.
Right. So, I mean, that's why I think they reintroduce these characters at different points and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure they'll also, they'll be issuing a nice box set of Phase 2 that also includes Season 1 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because that's the other thing. I guarantee you there will be tie-ins in this movie to S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. I think I've actually read somewhere that the guy who plays Triplet has been seen on set.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So I think there's a good chance we may see some crossover.
They are masters at this.
Oh, yeah.
They are really, really good at this. And they do it in surprising ways.
Very true.
So, which brings me to another point about this. Okay, so I know we're going on and on about this whole Avengers 2 thing. We haven't started talking about the list, right? Because we do have that.
Yes.
But how far or how long do you think that Marvel can continue, Disney and Marvel can continue on with this before people start going, oh, another freaking superhero movie?
You know? I don't think they're oversaturating us, honestly. Because now, granted, if you look beyond just the list for Marvel, if you look at the full boat of everything that DC is doing, everything that Sony is doing, everything that Fox is doing, and include the Disney Marvel cinematic universe, it's a lot of movies, but there's clearly an audience for it. There's clearly people like us who want to see these movies, who want to keep going to the theater. And honestly, I can't see. It's not like these are coming out once a week. Like if they had a new movie like this out, even just once a month, I would see myself hitting that saturation point quickly. But we're getting a small peppering of these things. We're getting maybe 4 or 5 a year, most, and that's only projected. You know, we really have only been getting maybe 3 a year up till now. So I think they still have some breathing room there before they oversaturate things.
So when you say people like us, do you mean nerds?
I mean people who appreciate this type of fandom.
No, but to Pete's point, I have been wondering this from the standpoint of DC now trying to jump in full bore and announcing, you know, their movies for the next 5 years. And are they jumping in too late? And will that maybe oversaturate and make people go, oh, another superhero movie?
It's a possibility, but I think there's a difference. Because if you look at what Marvel's doing, they're not just making superhero movies. They're making political intrigue movies. They're making fantasy movies. They're making science fiction movies and action comedies. They're making the types of movies that people want to see and just happen to have superheroes in them. You know, and I think that's a formula that the others need to be looking towards if they want to be as successful at this. Because the problem I see is all the other guys are essentially just making superhero movies. You know, just saying, all right, here's the characters, here's a story arc we want to try, make a superhero movie. And that's not, that's the kind of thing that people are going to get sick of. You know, whereas Marvel is really, they're making movies that happen to have superheroes in them. Of various genres.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would agree, especially after watching Days of Future Past and going, this might not be the book word for word, or, you know, it's been changed to fit with what characters they've been used and whatnot.
Right.
It's still a very much comic book movie as opposed to a cool time travel action movie,
right.
You know?
I never put it together, Ben, until you mentioned that, but Iron Man 2 is an action movie, Captain America is a war movie, Thor is a fantasy sci-fi movie, Avengers is a group, like a collab type
of
thing.
Right, a team-up movie, yeah.
That's an awesome, I never put it together, but that is an awesome outlook on it. They are making different types of movies, all with superheroes, and that's awesome.
So when do they get to the buddy cop movie?
They'll get there, I'm sure. Well,
that'll be the NovaCore movie.
I was going to say Deadpool, but
well, I mean they got into the sci-fi comedies with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
So Pete, that's why you have to do more of these, because you learn something every time.
Every time, I swear, it's beautiful.
and eventually they will get into the. You know, discrimination intrigue type movies with the Inhumans.
Yes.
Very good.
Right. So now that we're talking about the future of their movies,
we brought it back to this article somehow. I don't know how we got back to this.
What do you think I'm looking at right now?
The next movie in the lineup after Age of Ultron in May. Will be in
Ant-Man in July,
mm-hmm. And then in May of 2016, and we all know that date because they fought with DC
and
over that date. Captain America: Civil War.
Now tell me, John. Tell me honestly, Captain America: Civil War versus Batman versus Superman. Which one are you going to go see?
Batman versus Superman. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Wow. Actually, I'm.
Are you kidding me? It's Batman versus Superman.
It's Civil War.
Okay. Two characters.
It doesn't matter. Here's a question that you guys might be able to answer. How come in some of the screenshots I see Captain America Civil War and others I see Captain America Serpent Society?
That was a joke.
Working title.
It was specifically a joke ruse thing that they threw in there to for audiences to laugh at. And I think also to see how much it got, you know, passed around. But yeah, no, they're not doing Superman.
A lot, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Captain America Civil War, and it's our Iron Man's going to be in it, and I'm sure a lot of other characters are probably going to show up in it. And
so there's your buddy cop movie.
It was a cop.
No, well, no.
A buddy cop night. Yeah.
It's a Civil War story.
They're not buddy cops.
No. It's a conflict story.
You got the one that adheres to all the regulations, and the other one who's a free thinker, and you've got one guy who's 2 weeks away from retirement.
That's funny.
Here's another way to look at it.
It's a buddy cop.
Hold on.
I would love to see that take of it. That would be so funny.
Here's another way to look at it.
You hear this?
Warner Brothers is it's their second movie out of the door with this new universe. They've introduced Superman. This is a new Batman we don't know, and they're going to be fighting each other in the first movie. Now take the established characters of Captain America and Iron Man and have them fighting each other.
Right.
Plus all the characters we know fighting with them.
Still going to see Batman versus Superman.
All right. You know what? You're dead to me.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't go and see Civil War right after that. I'll make it a double, you know, for the day, but I'm still going to see Batman versus Superman first.
Moving on.
Well, you're going to see
We can't move on yet.
No.
Has anybody seen How It Should Have Ended?
I did. Oh, I love that.
Yes, that's hilarious. Yes.
They did a How It Should Have Ended for the Age of Ultron teaser, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
You have to see that, Dave. They basically
it's not only beautiful.
Yes, they tease about. First of all, they tease the use of Disney references by Ultron going through a bunch of other catchphrases from Disney movies.
I can show you the world.
and then they have a nod with Batman and Superman at the end, which is
that's what I was just gonna talk to John about.
Right. You just yeah.
Dave, that's what he wanted. It's a good
I love their different reactions to it though. That I think is what made it hilarious.
Yeah.
So, moving along.
And then in November of 2015 or 2016, we'll have Doctor Strange,
mm-hmm.
starring Benedict Cumberbatch.
Maybe. I don't know if that's still been. I think that's still up in the air. I don't think it's.
Established? It is set. Yeah, it is set. There's multiple sources say that it is set.
Fair enough.
So. Yeah, because when I heard about it, I was like, well, it'd be interesting, because the another runner, which surprisingly was Keanu Reeves. Has anybody heard this? They're already going with Doctor Strange, and to put Keanu Reeves in it would just sort of, I think, be a little too much.
Well,
would it be a little too strange?
Because they had the whole list of people they had for that role were kind of strange. I mean, because they had Joaquin Phoenix was another... You know, front
runner
for a while. Ethan Hawke was apparently on their list of possibilities. It seemed like an odd list, but
I'm not saying that Benedict is any not weirder, but to me, first of all, he has a really good look for it. I think.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite picture any of the others. Joaquin Phoenix and Keanu Reeves were the two that I knew, and I couldn't actually picture them, but I've seen a couple of illustrations where they take Benedict,
Mr.
Cumberbatch,
right,
and they draw the, you know, features on him, the hair and the whole cape and everything.
Yeah, my only concern is I have a hard time picturing Benedict Cumberbatch being either nice or patient. Just given the array of roles that he's played.
Right, but that's another thing, is given the array of roles that he's played, this is yet another one he could do.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I am going to be pleasantly surprised, I'm sure, as much as I was with Guardians. So. Yep.
And you know, Khan had to be very patient for his revenge. So.
But he wasn't very nice.
No, he wasn't.
So 2017 gives us three Marvel movies.
I was about to say, 2017, this is now when they're going to start upping their game and giving us three movies a year.
They're going to take over a small country to be able to do this.
Yeah. So we have Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in May.
Electric Boogaloo.
2017. Which...
I wish they would call it that, too.
That would be awesome.
It's one of the few movies that doesn't have a subtitle to kind of
so hint far.
What the story is.
So far.
It does, too.
Yeah.
So it's the second one. Oh, is that's that all how
you
that
need
works?
To know.
Yep.
That's how good the first one was. You don't need a subtitle.
And then we have Thor 3.
We have Thor Ragnarok.
That's where they team up, right? Thor and Ragnarok. Oh, wait, this is the event one.
Okay, this is the event one. Yes.
See, then back to what we were talking about before. It was a joke, Dave.
I understand, but you're scaring me a little bit, Ben.
Yes. And then finally,
November 3rd, 2017, finally something that the Marvel fans have been asking for a long time.
Catman.
And we're still going to have to wait until 2017. Well,
yeah, it'll be worth the wait, though.
Black Panther. Yes.
And I love in this article how they they say Marvel is beating their distinguished competition. I love how they did
in capital letters, yes.
In caps and everything. It's beautiful.
Distinguished only in that they called them out.
Wow, yes. Distinguished.
So anyway, yes, they will be hitting the big screens with the first African-American superhero titling his own movie.
Yes. Well, of course, well, I will say this in the distinguished competition's favor. they haven't announced which Green Lantern they're going with yet.
That's true.
They could still go with Jon Stewart. So,
however, even if they go with Jon Stewart, that movie isn't coming out before this one.
Oh, that's true. Sorry, you're right.
Technically, DC is going to win the other battle, which is the battle of gender, of having a female-led superhero movie on screen first.
It took them long enough.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to be too critical on DC, because they are doing it.
Right.
And I'm happy that they're doing it, and I'm really good, you know, what they're trying to do.
But the difference is, they're doing a Wonder Woman movie after everyone on Earth has been crying for a Wonder Woman movie. Whereas right. Marvel is doing a Captain Marvel movie when barely anyone has really cried all that hard for it, though we're all very excited that it's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Captain Marvel kicks ass.
That's later on the list. Wait.
It is later on the list.
So.
But I was leaving the other one to talk about in the conjunction because it's bigger weight-wise.
Right. Right.
Though you could make an argument, even though she doesn't have a solo movie, they beat them with Black Widow.
True. Just saying. She's not really a superhero.
But that's,
she's a superhero, right.
But she's not headlining. She's not the... If in the cast of characters, she is not on that A-list.
Scarlett Johansson in a tight leather outfit is a superhero. End of discussion. So okay.
She does definitely have some powers.
And then in May of 2018, we will get part one.
Mm.
Ooh, it's going to be a two-parters, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
This is my favorite thing about this whole thing, is that I even like how they worded it here. Thanos couldn't be contained in one movie.
Yes.
So, yeah, Avengers Infinity War, part one.
I'm so happy about this.
Right, so in a little over 3 years, we'll finally get payoff on the Thanos teasing that you have been doing all this time.
So let me go back to, I know we already left the topic, but I'm going to bring it back up. The saturation of superhero films. We are talking about a movie that I'm really excited for, and I'm going to go see it.
Yes.
I'm going to wait that long. Mm-hmm. But we are talking about a movie that is coming out in May of 2018.
Yes.
Hmm. And will be concluded in May of 2019.
Right, exactly. I have to wait
another year. It's a year-long movie.
Before I can finish it.
And you will be sitting there for a year with that same bucket of popcorn.
Well,
the whole time in the theater.
There are plenty of things that you don't get a payoff for until a year later. And that's... I think that we can be patient. And we will live.
Yes.
I mean, granted, think about the fact that between Avengers 1 and Avengers 2, it's been way more than that. I'm not doing the math.
And I'm still excited. I only bring it up because I'm not worried because I'm going to go see it. But I may be worried in the vein that if they start losing attention, the movie might not get made. I know they plan it, but if there's no more money in it, they're not going to make these movies. They're not made yet, you know.
Right,
we're
talking
about movies that haven't even they may not even have been written yet, you know.
True. However, I will say this. I think given the amount of money they've made on all of these movies so far, they probably can finance all of these movies right now.
Bankroll every movie from now on. Yes,
I think all of the ones they've told us about, they probably already have got the capital for. So.
Right. And don't forget, in between part one and two, in July of 2018, you'll have Captain Marvel.
I know.
And then in November... You'll have the Inhumans.
Oh, wait, Inhumans.
Oh,
the mutants they're allowed to use.
Exactly. Yes.
Which we're not talk we haven't talked about it, but I want to bring up the story about the Sony, the possible Sony issue. I don't know if that's been confirmed or denied yet, but Sony was in talks with Marvel was in talks with Sony to get licensing for Spider-Man.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we have discussed it before on the show. But yeah, it's sort of, I don't know where it is right now. I haven't heard any news or confirmation on it.
I
would love to see that work out itself such that, especially if it meant the possibility of having him be a actual key role in Civil War.
Right.
But the time in working that out is running short. You know, they're going to have to start going into production for that soon for it to be out in the time frame they plan on having it out. So if they don't know those details, they're going to have to, they're going to have to basically, if they're not writing two scripts, one with him and one without, then they're going to have to make a decision on one of those paths.
Right. And then not only that, when they originally started talking about it, they were saying they would have a different actor portray him. And so you'd have to bring him in and introduce him somehow. And, I mean, I honestly think you just get what's his name? The kid who plays him now.
Oh, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, you try to get Andrew Garfield to do it, and just act like that's canon. Even though it's a different studio,
just pretend that they're blended. I mean, it's not completely unprecedented. They actually had plans to do some marriage of those universes with Amazing Spider-Man 1, in that the Oscorp Tower was supposed to show up in the Avengers skyline. And the only reason it didn't was because of timing. They didn't get the artwork to Marvel in time to get it into into those shots.
Right. At least that's what they claim. So
that's what they say.
I know, we have to believe them.
So I do want to talk a little bit more, though, about the Inhumans, just because I think that, for one, I strongly believe that Marvel is spinning this up as something, because in the canon of the comics, the Inhumans are very bizarre and B-list compared to everyone else as it is. So I find it interesting that they're tackling this as something to put in the cinematic universe, and I strongly believe the reason they're doing it is basically as a substitute for the X-Men, as some sort of race of metahumans that can be somehow ostracized and have to deal with those types of struggles.
That's not a bad theory.
And even with that, we're going to see them, I think, long before November of 2008, because I think that's where Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is headed.
That is an interesting theory.
There's already been a bunch of theories that Skye is an Inhuman, and so is her father.
Yeah, and I like that theory, and I hope they can't help but start putting more spin into that show.
What I mean? Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, they've already said that the carvings are a star map, and it was funny. I saw an article where they pointed out that Skye said it, and so far everything Skye has said has been true in the show. So, so it's a space map, a star chart, whatever you want to say. And of course they've shown aliens already on the show quite a few times.
Well, they had, I guess so. I mean, they've had a couple Asgardians, and they've showed a blue guy in a tube twice. But we only assume that it's alien. It probably is. It's probably a Kree. And I did actually enjoy the fact that they nodded to in the premiere this season of that being something that was around since the 40s, amongst the things that were recovered by the SRS from the Nazi camps, from the Hydra camps.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Good save there, Ben.
Everyone knows what we're talking about, right?
If you don't, go watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2.
It's episode 1.
Episode 1, and continue watching every Tuesday night.
But yes, they go into the the Nazi camp, and they are looking in a box, and they close the lid real quick, and our eagle-eyed co-host, who is not with us tonight, Dustin, actually paused it and said that in the box was another blue-skinned alien, and he had all those carvings, those writings, all over his skin of the star chart. So, yes, I'm definitely going with that's their version of the Kree. So,
yeah. I mean, they've established the blue-skin, you know, in the Kree and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Because Ronan the Accuser was Kree, and he had blue skin, and so did a couple other. They didn't show very many Kree, but the ones they showed, most of them were blue-skinned, with the exception of that one guy, the African-American guy that was chasing Star-Lord around.
Yes.
Which was a weird choice, that they made him the only non-blue Kree.
Yes. I'm not sure why they did it either, but, you know, in the long run, it worked.
True.
So, yeah, no, I definitely... But which Inhumans are they supposed to just be different Inhumans, like not part of the team?
Or
are they supposed to be actual characters from the Inhumans?
Any actual characterization has been speculative. They haven't really... There's been no... Because the problem is, Skye's father hasn't really illustrated any abilities, per se. And Skye hasn't illustrated any abilities, per se, that could categorize them as specific Inhumans as yet.
Okay.
Because basically the whole thing with the Inhumans is they are the mythology of them in the comics is that they are descendants of a mixed race group of Cro-Magnon men that the Kree came and cross-pollinated with, you know, millions of years ago in an effort to create an army to fight the Skrulls. But then abandoned the experiment and left these enhanced Inhumans behind. And basically there's this stuff called the Terrigen Mists that can turn them, that basically can activate abilities in them. And there's actually a pretty big story arc that's come up recently in the comics around that whole thing in the past year. Where they're doubling down on the Inhumans in the comics. That aside, so whether they're going to adhere to all of that with this version of it, whether they're going to adhere to the... I would imagine that if they're going to do an Inhumans movie, it's going to have to feature Black Bolt. It's going to have to feature Medusa. And maybe a handful of the traditional Inhumans. But I think that they're probably going to use this as somewhat of an opportunity to... Yeah, at least with the show, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., to sort of make up some other Inhumans that are a little more grounded. Because some of them are a little bit weird.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And presumably, I would imagine they'll keep their base of operations terrestrial.
Not the moon?
Not the moon.
I don't know. I do think it's interesting that they would choose to... use the Inhumans when the main character doesn't speak.
Well, he can speak. He can control it. It's just, it takes a lot of practice and effort for him to speak without injuring people.
Wait. You're questioning their ability to make a movie when they put a talking raccoon? Into a movie?
Pete gets a point on this one, Dave.
Oh.
I think they can do whatever the hell they want.
Yes, they just basically made a movie where the best characters were a talking raccoon and a tree that barely talked.
And a tree that said one line.
Yes, a tree that said three words.
I am Vin Diesel.
So if they can pull that off and have pathos and have characters that people are likable, then I think they can pull off Black Bolt. Though the Inhumans aren't necessarily usually likable.
Right.
No, and it just goes back to Marvel's ability to just be able to make good movies and just use whatever they have available. Use it. Just put it out there.
I just think they'll probably skirt clear of Lockjaw for a while.
I don't know. I think Throg needs to make an appearance in the movies.
Totally. I mean, if nothing else, I've hinted at it. Come on.
I mean, just even for, you know, an honorable mention.
Where Thor makes fun of a frog. That's all I want. You know, just something like.
Well, I liked, if you ever watched the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. Or no, it was the original Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes cartoon. Loki turns Thor into a frog in one of the episodes.
Oh, yep.
And they make fun of him the entire time.
Actually, I thought it was in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. But maybe, I don't remember.
No, you know what? They did it in both.
Yeah.
Because then they did a crossover where he becomes the frog. And they turn
and Spider-Man turns into a pig.
Into a pig, yes, Peter Porker, the Amazing Spider-Ham. So,
which is actually not canonical to Spider-Ham, but whatever.
Which makes Homer Simpson's Spider Pig all that much more feasible.
Yes, who doesn't love Spider Pig? So yes, wow, so. We're getting to like an hour here, guys, and
I was gonna say,
yeah,
and we haven't talked about like half of the stuff I had on the list.
I mean, all that unimportant non-Marvel stuff. Screw all that.
Very good.
You know, John, what, how do you feel about us?
You know what, Dave? Actually, I have a suggestion. Since a lot of these other things that we had to talk about are related to the various TV shows that are on, maybe we save some of those for our other show. Speaking of,
what are you speaking of?
I'm speaking of.
Yes, for those who are unaware at this point, which I don't know how you could be.
Become aware.
We are attempting to do another.
We're making you aware.
Speaking of, which is on our YouTube channel, we've changed the format around a little bit where instead of trying to do every show every week, we're picking a show each week and just discussing the show up to that point between two of the cast members here. And
right. So last week's episode, we talked about Gotham. I had to think for a second there. It was me and John debating in our full visual glory the merits of Gotham up through episode 4. And the next episode, we should be talking about Flash. I was quick on that one. which I believe is you and me, Dave, right?
Yes.
So you can watch us banter about that one, hopefully sometime soon.
That's all up to our video editor.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we did.
I wonder where he's at.
That guy.
He's somewhere around here.
Yeah.
So that should go up soon, and then we'll be doing next week. We'll be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
See, I'm not gonna give a date for any of these shows because that actually puts me on the line. Because I know Dave won't edit it out.
Right.
No, I don't edit anything out.
So anyway, you should definitely be checking out our TV companion show because what could be better than this with video?
Yes, looking at our pretty faces.
That's right, and it's on YouTube. So one of the best things you could do is go watch it and then comment on it. Let us know what it's like, what you like about it, what you don't like about it, and we will listen.
Yes, tell us what you really think of John.
Please do.
Yeah, that's all we want to know.
Yeah.
We all love
it. Last episode, woo-woo, John O'Grady.
Yes. So if anyone can put it in the comments, how many times I made John's eye twitch. You'll get bonus points for that.
Yes. All right. So we're wrapping it up here, guys.
I think it's a safe place to wrap it up. We've covered a lot of territory.
All right. Does anyone have anything to add, Pete, John?
Nope.
No, but I'm happy to announce that Christmas music has started.
in your head. Or around your person?
Wait.
Everywhere I go.
is the Christmas music replacing that little voice that kept telling you to kill everyone? Is that what's...
Oh. No, he's accompanying it.
Oh, okay. He's now singing the Christmas together, songs.
Honestly.
Full disclosure, I do not have a little voice in my head telling me to kill anyone.
Oh, okay. Good. Good.
It's a very large voice.
It, yes. It's screaming.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, as always, don't let your little voice get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google Plus at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or, if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google Plus page, or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape.
Superhero Speak promo, take one. Get your promo done.
So do you read comic books? Do you enjoy comic book movies? Well, then you should be listening to Superhero Speak.
What's that, Dave?
It is a weekly podcast where we talk about comic book movies, TV shows, cartoons, and all other things comic book related.
That sounds great. Who hosts it?
Well, I host it.
Oh, I'm out.
We also have Ben. You're one of the hosts.
Oh, you lost me.
Okay. We also have John.
I'll do anything for money.
If John's there, I might show up every once in a while.
And occasionally we have Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Once in a while, when things are rough on the budget, I might step in and help out.
It's a good thing we have that padding in the budget to have him show up every once in a while.
He shows up for Oreos and orange juice. So I don't know.
Have you seen his IMDb page? He needs the work. Really.
The Headless Horseman was a hell of a role. Hell of a role.
If you want a podcast that feels like the conversations that you have in your local comic book shop, then you should check us out on superheroespeak.com, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Podcasters, I'm going to have you redo that entire promo. It wasn't working for me at all.
It was the plaid and the stripes, wasn't it?
Listen, you had an hour at Mood. I don't know what you did with your time.
Mostly slingshotting bow ties.
So, Mr. Gunn, what is your favorite comic book?
Personally, I like The Adventures of Superman because I love that costume. It's so skin tight and it's adequately designed.
Have you ever heard of the Ambiguously Gay Duo?
I have not.
I think you would enjoy them.
Oh, it sounds naughty. David, you rascal.
Oh my gosh.